Blog Talk Radio.
Time now for Lydia's Literary Lowdown on Greater Good Ministries Radio. Join Lydia at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern every Saturday and get the lowdown on today's popular authors, publishers, and pundits. Lydia's Literary Lowdown, right here on GGM Radio, every Saturday, 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern.
Welcome to Lydia's Literary Lowdown. I am here with the lovely Daria DiGiovanni. I don't know how she does it. I mean, not only did she start writing early, but Daria's experience includes copywriting, website content, e-proposal and RFP writing, blogging, book editing, social media. She's written a wonderful novel, Water Signs, A Story of Love and Renewal. The plot is complicated. The characters are compelling. She's trying to write a sequel in between ghostwriting and all the other aforementioned activity. Daria, do you ever take a nap? You hurt me.
Hey, Lydia. Yeah, I've been known to sleep occasionally, I have to admit.
And you have a radio show, Right Stream, which, by the way, is going to be on right after this episode of Lydia's Literary Lowdown. Run, don't walk, run and listen to Right Stream because you interview the most fabulous authors. You know, the thing that impresses me about you is that you don't just go on and on about your own work, even though it's spectacular. Seriously, you can find it on Kindle, Barnes & Noble, all the either download or paperback places you are at, and you have solid 5-stars reviews. Do you pay any attention to those, by the way?
You know, it makes me feel good. It's so funny because my book came out in 2008, and over the I would say over the next 2 or 3 years, I was so excited, and I still get very excited seeing that. It does. But what excites me is that the book, that says to me that people enjoyed the book. It's not so much an ego thing as it is, wow, people really read and enjoyed it, and that's what really makes me feel good. I think music to every author's ears is when you hear somebody say, your book is so good, I couldn't put it down. And, you know, I've been blessed that so many people have said that to me, and especially because I went the self-publishing route, being kind of the renegade that I am and not wanting to be edited and wanting to get the points across and the themes across that I wanted to in my novel, that really makes me feel good. So I'm more about, I would say, with my books, reaching out and finding my own audience and finding success with them, even if it doesn't mean necessarily big commercial success. So, yeah, it does. It still makes me feel good.
But the beautiful thing about that, I think you are kind of a model to everyone who wants to be an indie author or self-publish out there, because it does show that you can do it. You can have those solid 5-star reviews because that's all you have, I know, on Amazon. It has to be kind of edifying to know, and yet at the same time, I think it would be crucifying. This is just me placing how I would feel, because you're also trying to work on a sequel, Sea to Shining Sea, as well, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I've been working on that since, late 2010. So, yeah, it's been a long road, and I'm only into Chapter 5. I have the whole book mapped out, but I'm only into Chapter 5 because other things, you know, they kind of take priority. Whatever your bread and butter has to take priority, the bread and butter projects, I call them. So, but yes, I'm still working on it.
Right. But right now, the thing that kind of caught my ear immediately is just that you're ghostwriting. And I was telling you before we came on air, I just absolutely think that's amazing because you literally have to absorb the voice of someone else. You have to be able to ascertain how they want it done. How does that work?
Yeah, well, you know, and you're so right, Lydia, and I have to say, I have turned down projects in the past of people that have approached me to ghostwrite books because I just didn't click with them. In the case of this particular client whose book I'm ghostwriting now, I've known him for 4 years, and we were friends, and we had a couple of consultations where we sat down, and he really explained his vision to me, and I got it, you know, I'm not going to say we agree on every little thing, but we agreed on enough things, and I liked where he was going with this book and what he was trying to accomplish. I believed in it enough to say, you know what, yeah, I really want to take this on. And in his case, English is a second language for him. So I had the additional challenge of, and he speaks English very well, but he had the additional challenge of a little bit of a communication I'm not going to say problem, but, you know, just we had to kind of find a way to communicate with each other, and we did. And I think his ideas are so appealing to me because the book has, and you'll like this, it has a lot of spiritual aspects. There's aspects in there. The book isn't about past lives per se, but certainly that plays into the book as well, you know, past lives and how we come back and reincarnate many times, because he's a very firm believer in that. He's had a near-death experience. He had a near-death experience 10 years ago, which really prompted him to want to write this book. So he's very fascinating to me. But we're also good friends, and he's a good person. So I feel like with ghostwriting, you're absolutely right, because you have to really get inside somebody else's head. One, you have to like the person. I think you have to start from that baseline. And you have to be able to look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, I can really work with this person. I can see myself. I want to spend the time. I buy into what they're trying to do. I can see myself spending the time bringing their vision to life. Because it's not just about the money. I mean, you really, truly have to make that commitment. And also, you know, the hard part about it is that it's not your book. So there has to be give and take, and you have to be willing to accept the fact that you may offer suggestions to the person, and they may like them, they may fight you on them, you might discuss them and maybe change them. But in the end, it's still their book. So all you can do is make the suggestion in good faith, and if they don't want to do that, they're still your client. So, you know,
crazy.
You have to kind of roll with it. Yeah.
I'm still reeling my jaw in from where it hit my chest, thank you very much. Because what do we hear all the time? We hear a voice. If you pay attention to RightStream, if you read Darianne's blog, which you should run right over to DariaDGiovanni.com or follow her at DariaAnne, and that's DariaAnne on Twitter. I mean, we hear so often about voice. You displayed amazing voice in Water Signs, A Story of Love and Renewal. But what you're talking about, it is insanely difficult. Don't tell me it's not, because voice is difficult to find your own voice, to fit, to be comfortable enough with yourself to use your voice. Because I always say I've come up with my quote, with my own quote, all on my own, believe it or not. And that is, voice is the essence of the soul distilled into words. What you're doing is doubly difficult, because it's not just that you've displayed excellent voice in your book or on your blog or even on Twitter. It's also that now you're creating, you're stepping into someone else's voice, and the minutia and the being on the same page, is it like almost writing characters for you in that, how can I put this? You know that I can be a mush mouth. I can ask inexplicably complicated questions. But I think about Water Signs, The Story of Love and Renewal, Madeline Rose, you are in her. You know what I mean? You nail her. She's a real person. You can identify with her. Is it the same kind of process to step into ghostwriting, into the voice of that author?
Well, no. I'll have to say no, at least not in this case, because Madeline Rose is really, and my whole book is really loose, very loosely autobiographical. So it's based on real life, and the character of Madeline Rose is really based on me. All the characters in that novel are based on real people, real events in my life, or events that happen to people that I'm close to. So it's very, very different ghostwriting, because this particular book, even though it's set far into the future, there's definitely historical figures from the 20th century and way back in history that show up in the book. So not only did I have to kind of find the voice for the book, there's a main character who's a teacher in the book, and I kind of envisioned him. I got this image of my mind the more I spoke with Shlomo, who's my client. I started to see this character as Morgan Freeman. I guess, you know, I kind of attached the character to somebody from real life. I saw him as very dignified. He's a history teacher. And so he's imparting these lessons to these students far into the future using history as his guide. So that part was tough. I'll tell you, the other thing that was challenging with this was having to do so much research. I mean, I must have watched hours and hours and hours of documentaries about people like Lenin and Stalin and Hitler and Charles Manson. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't very pleasant. And I learned a hard lesson about watching documentaries about these people late at night before going to bed, because some of them gave me nightmares. But with the ghostwriting, even though it's a fictional book, I have to let people know up front. I mean, we're incorporating real life people from history, but it's still fictional. But what I had to do when I was watching those documentaries was pay attention to, like, little things, too. We certainly know, like, the bigger picture about these people and what they did. But I paid attention to their personality traits and little quirks to kind of incorporate that into the book. And it was a long process, but I did enjoy it. But I hope I'm answering your question. Yes, it was difficult, and it took I would say the prep work when you're ghostwriting for somebody is so much longer, because when it's your own book, you can just get into that voice. You know, with Madeline Rose, I had no issues at all. I mean, I knew what I wanted to say. I knew how I wanted to present her. I knew the voice for the novel. This took me a while. It took several months, really, before I truly felt comfortable with what I was writing. So it definitely has its challenges. But I also think, Lydia, the good part of that is it also helps you to grow as a writer and develop your skills, and you think, wow, you know, I can really do this. You know, so it's good in that sense as well.
But that's amazing. I mean, you know, it's still, and I think that gives everyone a realistic view of ghostwriting, because I think there's been some stereotypical, I will speak correctly at some point during this episode, thank you very much, listeners, but I think there are stereotypical views of ghostwriting. A lot of times it seems to me, and this is just my perception, but it seems to me if someone has a ghostwriter, sometimes it's looked down upon, or even the ghostwriter is looked down upon. However, you already have a book out there before you're doing this. So, I mean, it kind of establishes you in a right. But have you run across or ever kind of been on the other end of some sort of perception that's less than positive about ghostwriting?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, my parents have been 100% supportive. But I have family members who think that this should be a part-time job. This isn't something you do full-time. So I've had to contend with that. And I've learned to live with disapproval, and I'm fine with that. I think in the case of this client particularly, I think when I tell people that, you know, for him, English is a second language, he's from another country, it starts to make more sense to them. And they say, and most people say, wow, that's really great, because we think it's wonderful that, you know, he's got the concept and then you're helping him because you have the ability with the English language to bring his story and his characters to life. So I would say overall the feedback has been more positive than negative.
Now, in this case, because English is his second language, is he also intending on releasing this book in his native language as well at the same time as the English version?
We've discussed that, and yes, he does have plans to do that at some point. But I think our main focus right now is to get it written, get it released in English, perhaps do an audiobook, hire someone to do that. And probably, you know, within the year after it's released, release it in different languages. Certainly Spanish. He wants to release it in Spanish. And probably, he's from Israel, so I'm sure he'll want to release it, an Israeli version of it as well.
Do you have a release date in mind? And is he going the traditional route or self-publishing?
Well, you know, and that's funny, QS, that's part of the reason why I've been building up WriteStream so much and networking. And Twitter is wonderful. I mean, there's such a huge writers community on there. I think what we're going to do is we're going to try it. I do want to pitch it to a couple of different publishers. However, if we don't, you know, if it looks as if we're not going to have success with that, we're not going to waste a lot of time. Then we're going to just go the self-publishing route. And honestly, in the last 5 years, you know, since self-publishing my own book, I have learned so much. So I feel like I can, you know, the mistakes that I've learned from with my own book, I can avoid with Shlomo's book, and I'm really kind of, I've got my list together. I'm keeping a spreadsheet of different people that can be helpful in that regard, and certainly I'll be doing his social media campaign, and we'll get a PR company. And I would say if I could predict the future, my guess is that probably there's a 99% chance we're going to go the self-publishing route, because I think, you know, a lot of you know, let's face it, with these traditional publishers, if you're not a known quantity, and this is certainly the case with my book, and I'll tell you a funny story about that. Before my book came along, about 2 years before I started writing it, I was editing a book for a friend of mine who wrote a book called You Deserve the Royal Treatment. It was a women's health and wellness book. And I watched her jump through hurdle after hurdle, trying to get a literary agent, trying to get somebody to pay attention to her. They made her do all this research. I mean, she was spending hours, you know, outside of her day job, you know, trying to get all this work done for these publishers who may or may not accept her. And in the course of all that, I wrote and self-published my book because I said to her, I said, I'm not putting myself through this. Forget it. I'm just not doing it. She ended up doing the self-publishing route herself and achieved a lot of success with that. So I think that the stigma that used to surround, you know, quote-unquote self-publishing, I think that's going away. And obviously new technology has completely changed the paradigm with the publishing industry. And I believe it's democratized the process for truly talented authors who really just need a break and need a way to reach their audience. And I thank God every day for new technology and the people who are able to, you know, bring these wonderful tools into our lives, because I think when you know how to use them, you can find your own level of success and you can completely bypass the gatekeepers. So I'm pretty sure that that's what we're going to end up doing with this book.
But here's the thing. What possible mistakes, I cannot conceive from what I've seen and how you publicize Water Signs, A Story of Love and Renewal, what mistakes were there in trotting that out?
I wish back then, I had joined Twitter in 2008, for example, but it wasn't until I was on it for maybe a year or two that I really got, believe it or not, that I really got it, thanks to Hootsuite, things like that. I mean, I think that I just wish that I had been I used Facebook, I set up a page for the book, and I did achieve a measure of success. I don't want to downplay it. I just think that I've learned so much more now that I would have incorporated then had I known. But, you know, again, it's just everything's a learning experience. So, like, for example, I wish I had known that the writers community was so big on Twitter, you know, back in 2008 and had really been more proficient from the outset. But, you know, I did do a lot of rounds on Blog Talk Radio and kind of found my voice, and then that led to me starting my own show. So I just feel like everything has worked out the way it's supposed to. And like I said, I love new technology and I love social media. And every author, if they're not making use of it, then they're really missing out.
Right, and that actually counts today. Here's what it used to be: the wisdom in the traditional publishing. I swear I can talk. It used to be kind of the norm in traditional publishing, because I'm going that route. I'm a sadomasochist, apparently. But that said, it used to be the norm that if you wrote nonfiction, you have to have a platform. In fiction, you didn't really have to have a platform. You really didn't. Even in 2008, a few years ago, because I was starting my book, around the time you won the Book of the Week award from Blurb Talk Radio, which we're going to address again in a moment. But that said, at that time, it wasn't expected that fiction novelists, debut novelists, aspiring authors, whatever, have a presence like it is now. I've actually heard editors say that it makes a huge difference. There have been editors who have chosen, they had two great projects. One person had a platform, had a media presence, one person didn't. So the sooner you can get that platform, the better it is. However, I do want to ask, in July 2009, Water Signs did win the Book of the Week award from Blurb Talk Radio. Did you notice a bump in sales or more notoriety, if you will, in the best of ways from that?
Yes, I did, actually. And I want to say that's a wonderful show. And also, the very act of having to compete in that Book of the Week award contest really helped me to hone my message, because I think it was, I forget now, I think it was 2 minutes. The blurb was like 2 minutes long, and you had to get your message across about your book in 2 minutes. And I remember another writer friend of mine, God bless him, he spent a lot with me helping me to just message, because I've got so many thoughts. But I really had to like hit that message, you know, in 2 minutes. I really had to touch upon that in such a way that people would be like, hey, I really want to read this book. I can't wait to read it. And so just the practice of doing that really helped me as I went forward with the marketing, certainly with the blurb and winning the contest and then being invited back to discuss the book. And yes, I did see, it gave me more legitimacy, I believe, you know, in saying that your book won an award like that. I think it makes a huge difference, and I did see a spike in book sales, and I saw more respectability and you know, things started happening, you know, for me after that point. And, I mean, my book had been out I published it in September of 2008, so it was almost a year later. But that's the other beauty about, you know, self-publishing is that, you know, just because your book comes out in 2008 doesn't mean you can't keep marketing it and keep reaching out and finding more readers. So, to answer your question, though, yes, definitely. And they were such gracious hosts. I had such a great time on that show. And I just recommend that anytime you can get on Blog Talk Radio, you can get somebody to feature you on your blog. I mean, I had people do feature stories about me on their, on different blogs and, you know, interview me for different features on different websites. And the more exposure, the better. I mean, whatever you can do to get the message out there.
And you do that. But here's what I'm intrigued with, because, you know, it was 3 years ago, give or take a year or more, probably, knowing me. I'm not good at math. What can I say? You also have a passion for internet radio. It's not just Rightstream, which is fantastic, but you founded the Conservative Republican Forum with Steve Rosenblum.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
So
my buddy
you do
Steve.
That
yeah.
as well. So tell me now, okay? How do you juggle two radio shows, ghostwriting a book, and then getting around to another book along with, yes, I had to take a breath, thank you very much, copywriting, website content, e-proposal, RFP writing, blogging, social media. How on earth do you do all of this?
Well, tell you what, I do take time. I take time in the morning to pray, I journal. I make sure I love Leslie Sansone Walk at Home DVDs. I take the time. I have on one CD I have 4 different walks. Depending on how much time I have that day, I'll pick a walk and do it. It's low impact aerobics and it's wonderful. And I take the time to do that because it gives me energy. And I'll tell you, Lydia, like when I have those moments and I get them, I think we all do, when I'm just absolutely blocked. I mean, this happened recently. I was trying to incorporate revisions for Shlomo's book, and I was just sitting there, and it was just like nothing would come out of my head, nothing. I mean, literally, I sat there for 10 minutes, and I said, you know what? I'm getting up, and I'm going to go exercise. And I did. And when I got back to that computer, it's like it just flowed right through me. I just picked right up where I left off. So I think you have to know when to stop. I know a lot of editors and publishers will give that advice. Well, writing is, you know, sitting in the, you know, seat of the pants and the seat of the chair, and you sit there until you come up with something. I don't necessarily agree with that. I know for myself, I have to know when it's time to walk away and do something physical. And I think certainly from a health perspective and keeping me energized and able to juggle all these different things, that's absolutely critical. So I would say, you know, you've got to carve out the time to do whatever it is that's going to be uplifting for you. So for me, it's taking time to pray, to journal, and to move my body, because if I didn't do that, there's no way I'd be able to sit at a computer for as long as I do every day. And I just love the creative process. I mean, from the time I was a little girl, I would tell anybody who would listen that I was going to be a writer. And that was always what I wanted to do. I'll read. And, you know, that's another thing. And certainly I have to do this because I'm interviewing authors. But I read a lot of other people's books, too. And that also helps. I think it just keeps fueling the flow of creativity. You know, the more you read other authors and the more you journal and the more you, and you know, like I said, exercise is very important to me. It sort of just keeps that energy going, and I'm able to accomplish things. And I'm very organized. And I find the busier I am, the more organized I am, and the more able I am to get everything done. I know it sounds kind of paradoxical, but I think that's just how my personality is.
Well, does that organization also go hand in hand with ghostwriting? Because it sounded to me earlier on as if you have kind of an outline. You're more of a plotter than a panster. Is that true or no?
Well, yes and no. It's certainly true with the ghostwriting book. Water Signs sort of came about. Water Signs, I think, was a once-in-a-lifetime writing process because it was actually a friend of mine who's very intuitive who really opened up the floodgates, because in real life, the book is really a relationship that I really had that broke my heart back in 1994, and I had really forced myself to have the amnesia about this guy. Seriously, it was just as if he never existed. I think it was a defense mechanism that an intuitive friend of mine in early 2008 opened up for me, and it brought back this flood of memories, and all I could do was sit down and write a book, and I feel like it was divinely inspired because I just couldn't stop myself. It was just I sat down and that book just flowed out of me. I never thought about it. And certainly it was all based on real life, so I didn't really need an outline because I kind of just used my journals to fill in some details, and away I went, and I was done in 4 months. With the ghostwriting book, and even with my sequel now too, because I'm taking these two characters now, and now the whole book is really purely fictional. I'm actually having to make up the story. So that's a little different. So I did plot out Sea to Shining Sea, unlike Water Signs. I do have an outline. I know what's going to happen. I know what I want the characters to endure. I know how I want them to be tested and how they're going to come through all of that. And certainly with my client's book, he and I, we have many sessions where we talk, and The thing with ghostwriting, too, that can be frustrating is, you know, you may have a discussion and you agree, okay, here's the direction we're going to go in, here's what's going to happen in this chapter. And then I write it out, it sounds really great, he reads it, and he goes, you know what, I think I want to do this instead. And so then you have to sort of, you know, shift gears and go back. But again, you know, the client is paying you as the ghostwriter. You make your suggestions, and then it's still his book. So if that's what he wants, then that's what you do. But yeah, and I can tell you the name of the book I'm working on. It's called Steps to Salvation. And so he did kind of map it out for me. But I'll tell you, Lydia, it's so funny. We thought we were going to have 10 chapters. Now, as I'm working on it, we've realized, you know what, this book's going to just be broken down into 3 big sections. And it's, you don't know these things necessarily until you get into it. So, yes, I think it's good to outline, but at the same time, I think you should be fluid enough to accept that, you know what, this isn't set in stone. As I write it and as the characters come to life and as the plot unfolds, we may change this, and you need to be open to that. I think it's very important not to get rigid and not to get locked into something. Although, you know, I think of it as a roadmap, but maybe I might take, instead of taking, you know, I-95, I might take the back roads to get to my final destination. And you have to be willing to roll with it.
Right, because you can't hamper what needs to come out or how it needs to be done. I prefer when my characters surprise me and I walk around in a daze the rest of the day. Not because they're live people. I'm not that schizophrenic. But because I didn't see that coming. I did not know that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. But do you, whenever you're doing a ghostwriting job, do you and the client agree beforehand? Like, are there deadlines that you have to meet?
Yeah, he and I, what we did was we built in sort of financial incentives into the contract. And so, yes, in a sense, we do that. But then again, like I said, what happens is I may meet the deadline. He might read it and say, wow, this is really great. But you know what? I was thinking about it, and I think we should do this instead. So then I have to go back and revise something. But yeah, I mean, we have, like, it's always good if you can get incentives built into a contract like that. Because let's face it, we're all human, and as much as you love to write, it helps, absolutely. It keeps me on track. It keeps me focused. And knowing that, you know, he expects my best work, and I mean, he loves what I'm doing. I mean, he, obviously, as far as my writing ability, it's just that he may, in the course of his day, encounter something at work, let's say, or something in his business or a client that kind of stirs his imagination, and he thinks, you know what, God, I should incorporate something like this into the book. So it's, as people are living life, things happen that they realize, wow, you know what, this would make a great theme, or this would make a great plot point. So let me go back and tell Daria she needs to add this somewhere. So, you know, it's that back and forth. But yeah, we have incentives built in. And but again, like I was saying, you have to stay flexible even as you're meeting those deadlines, because as you know, Lydia, I mean, writing is it's a fluid process, and I think it's just very important not to get set in your ways or not to fall in love with the way you've written something to the point where you're unwilling to make any changes.
That's going to be a big problem when it comes to editing, but that's where you have a real advantage. I would think that being a ghostwriter and a blogger and you can copyright and even website content, mm-hmm. all of this, it has to help, and I know it helped Water Signs, A Story of Love and Renewal, greatly.
Yes.
Because, you know, what's the number one thing that everyone says to people who want to go the indie route? And I love that term. I think indie is better than self-published, because I still think there are some stigmas associated with just that term, self-publishing. I like indie author. You're an indie author. But you had advantages that a lot of other people don't have. Do you have, or have you considered, besides ghostwriting, you already copyright. Do you help people help edit?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I do. I edit. I do website content for businesses or, you know, even personal websites. Absolutely. I do all that kind of stuff. And with Water Signs, it's funny, you know, around the time I started writing that, I was working for a company where I was – those e-proposals that you mentioned – the company was a hospitality-oriented company, and their customers were big major hotel chains like Starwood Corporation, you know, Westons and Sheratons. And I used to have to write e-proposals, and they were very descriptive. And it really helped me – I think it really helped me to develop the descriptive narrative that you see in Water Signs, and really gave me the ability to learn how to put the reader into a situation where they were really feeling and sensing everything that was going on in a particular scene, you know, whether they were by the beach or on the boardwalk or wherever it happened to be. So I can't say enough about that job because it really helped me. I think it helped me take my writing to another level to the point where I could write a book. So, absolutely. I think it's very important for writers to have blogs. And, you know, you and I talked about this before we went on the air. I mean, look, I'm very opinionated, and I put my opinions on my blog. And you know, love me or hate me, agree with me or disagree with me, my blog is my place where I'm going to express those opinions, whether it's a product review, because I do a lot of product reviews. I do book reviews. I do film reviews and music reviews. But I also write about culture. I write about politics, and I write how I feel. I mean, I have my values and my belief system, and I try to explain it in such a way that maybe people will at least think about it. They may not necessarily agree with me. But I think it is important, and I would never want to – I think what appeals to me – and I like your term, indie author. I think what appeals to me the most about that is that I don't have to censor myself because my book, you know, Water Signs is subtle, I think, but there's an underlying theme of patriotism and love of country. My characters go to church. I mean, they're not like but I didn't want the book to get labeled, quote-unquote, Christian literature either. It still speaks to a broader market. So I didn't want – to go that route and have somebody try to pigeonhole it somewhere, because there's so much to the book. I mean, there's a psychic in the book. I mean, it's very spiritual. It kind of covers a whole variety of things. So, I'm going to adopt your term. I like that indie author term.
I just love it. I mean, we think awesome. Indie films, and those aren't frowned upon. I think indie author is just a great term I did not come up with, but I've heard it so many times, and I just think it sticks better. But about your blog, we can find that at dariaann.wordpress.com, right?
Actually, that's my old blog. That's okay. My new one is Daria, D-A-R-I-A, DiGiovanni.com. So it's D-A-R-I-A, D-I-G-I-O, V like victory, ANNI.com. And if you have any doubt, you can always follow me on Twitter at DariaAnn. And the link to it is in my Twitter profile.
Or Google.
As well.
So, I'm a big fan. Google. If you Google Daria and DiGiovanni, Daria DiGiovanni, you're going to find everything you need. I am a Google addict, so I just Google it, and then I read everything I can about you. That said, we need to go to a quick break, and then we are going to come back, and let's just see what happens, because in the green room, Daria's going to give me about 50 billion ideas that I won't have time to actually talk about when we do come back. But we will be right back here on Lydia's Literary Lowdown on WGGM.
Hello, everyone. Bea Delosier here with a rundown of GGM Radio's brand new schedule. Boy, have we got some wonderful new programs with great new hosts. A little something for everyone. On Mondays at 11 a.m. Central, it's Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell for an hour of psychic chat and inspirational guests. Mondays at 7 p.m. Central, it's time for Primarily Paranormal with psychic Tina Marie. Share an hour with Tina and Bob Weber of Gulf Coast Paranormal. On the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m. Central, it's the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hildebrand, an hour devoted to your spiritual growth. Wednesdays start at 11 a.m. Central with Maggie Holbeck and Crystal Clear Coaching, featuring motivational inspiration to get your life back on track. At 1 p.m. Central, join Claudia Cleary on Wednesdays with Namaste Nutrition for an hour of soothing chat all about good health, positivity, and spiritual balance. Thursdays, start your day at 9 a.m. Central with Nancy Murdoch and Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. Let Nancy and her special guests lift you out of that rut and get you back in your groove. At 8 p.m. Central, join Dr. Gregory Scott for the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. Gregory offers spiritual education to further you along your path to enlightenment and empowerment. Fridays at 12 noon Central, it's Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Join Brenda for an hour of inspiration and motivation, featuring a lineup of today's most popular authors and guests. Friday night at 7 p.m. Central, enjoy an hour of psychic chat with spot-on reader Tasha Harris and the Angels Network. Saturdays begin at noon Central with Bea Delosier, yours truly, and the Metaphysical Edge for psychic chat and interesting guests ranging from UFO research, paranormal experiencers, and all things metaphysical. At 2 p.m. Central on Saturday, it's Audrey Quinn and My Beauty Angel, an hour created just for you with tips and tricks on how to be the best you can be with what God has given you. Sunday is a day of service here on Greater Good Ministries Radio, each week featuring a different interfaith minister, bringing joy, upliftment, and unfoldment for body, mind, and spirit. The first Sunday of the month is Conversations Beyond the Edge with Dr. Gregory Scott. The second Sunday of the month is the Empowerment Hour with Reverend Barbara B. Delosier. Third Sunday of the month is the Light Givers International Sunday Service and Worldwide Source a Nation Celebration. The fourth Sunday of the month is In His Presence with Evangelist Patricia Benneman. Hope you will join us live for all of our Greater Good Ministries radio programs, but if you can't be with us in person, you can hear any of our programs on demand in archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/ggmradio. And remember, all of our programs now stream live from our home site, www.ggmradio.com. Wishing everyone warmest blessings, always in love, light, and sound. Music provided by Arvel Bird, musician extraordinaire. Visit him at arvelbird.com and get a hold of all of Arvel's wonderful music.
Welcome back to Lydia's Literary Lowdown. I am here with the fantastic, overachieving, multitasking Daria D. Giovanni. What I want to ask her about, because indie authors need something. You may have a great critique partner. You may have great beta readers, and good for you, because I'm sure every indie author out there, every traditional author out there, we've all seen the nightmares. Those indie books that have not been edited, that have not been proofread, that have not had anyone really looking at them. And I don't know about you, but when I read them, they make me cringe a little bit because the idea may be great, the premise may be great, the characters may be amazing, but with a little judicious editing, it could have been taken that much further. Well, I have an expert on with me today. That's right, Daria D. Giovanni. She does book editing. She proofreads. She ghostwrites. She'll even do social media management and marketing and do it brilliantly. You'll write content. You blog. You've talked about your e-proposals. Press releases, my God, woman. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that you ever watched a documentary that was disturbing, as you referred to earlier, and then went to bed, because I don't believe you sleep. I don't. So what kind of contact, if you want to find out Daria's services, you can just go to dariadgiovanni.com/services/. But tell us a little bit about what you do. Like, if I want to engage your services, what's the best way for me to do that?
Well, you can contact me through the blog. You know, click on the contact link and, you know, fill out the information and, you know, let me know how I can contact you. And I do, like, you know, we'll do a consultation, you know, that's complimentary. And I'll, you know, I like to try to get to know a person, you know, similar to the process for deciding whether or not I want to ghostwrite with somebody. Same thing, you know, we'll have a conversation, find out, you know, where you are, if you're a writer, you know, how far along you are in your manuscript, or maybe it's complete, maybe you need help with the marketing, maybe you do need it, you know, the work of a professional editor, you know, because, and Lydia, you know this, I mean, as writers, you know, we know what our work is. When we're reading, sometimes you miss things because you know what you intend to say and you think it's there, but maybe it's not. You need a fresh pair of eyes to really to read your work, and it's not to be critical. I mean, it's to be constructively critical. Let me put it that way. It's not to try to tear somebody down. It's just, as you said, it's to try to help you become the best writer you can possibly be. And I've certainly been there. And I know as writers, we tend to be very sensitive and take things personally. And I'm also a Pisces, so that goes double for me. But I've really tried to learn to overcome that, because we all want to be the best, very best that we can be. And if you have a good person who can help you with that, I mean, I highly recommend it. Everybody should have an editor. Sometimes you include things in books that don't necessarily need to be there, and that goes back to what you and I were talking about when you fall in love with your content. But maybe somebody, a third party, can look at that and say, you know, that's not really necessary to your book, and it's kind of detracting from the story. So I do editing. I can proofread. Certainly I can ghostwrite. I love social media, so I know a lot of people are very hesitant to use it, or they don't have time and they don't want to use it. I can certainly manage that for you to help you connect and engage with your audience. Very, very important. I can't say enough about that on social media. Engagement. First of all, finding your audience, reaching out to them, and talking to them and having a conversation. It's not just about broadcasting. It's about building those relationships so that people will want to buy your book. Certainly blogging. I know, you know, web content is king. I mean, you need content, and a lot of times people maybe don't have the time to write web content, and they need some articles about writing or whatever it is. It doesn't even have to be about writing. It could be products or whatever it is. I certainly can do that because I do have a marketing background, and I love copywriting. I love writing to sell, you know, writing that sells products or services. So check that out on my blog, and I'd be happy to work with anybody.
Right, but it's not just all of that, which I just mentioned, because there's a whole huge list of services that you offer. It's not just that. You also, I'd like to talk a little bit about WriteStream, because in essence, you are promoting authors as well. It's not just enough, okay? You're like, all I think of when I think of you is a spotless halo, because it's not just enough, and I think every author out there who does what you do, that is promote other authors, needs some sort of something equivalent to an actor winning an Oscar, because you're not just doing it for you, you're doing it for other people as well. Tell us a little bit about WriteStream and how you came up with the concept, and I want to know who's on today too.
Sure. Well, WriteStream, I came up with the idea just for the reason you said. I love to promote people. I found, again, getting back to social media, I love that it's really sort of democratized the whole process of writing and made it possible for talented people to become indie publishers. If they get frustrated with the traditional process, then they don't have to do that anymore. But the flip side of that is that you also have to know how to navigate your way through that and really achieve that success online. So WriteStream, I started, we actually relaunched it. I originally started it 2 years ago, and then kind of took a hiatus, and I relaunched it in March of this year. And there's two components to it. I have the WriteStream Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio, and I actually have two other hosts on the network right now. On Sundays, I have the wonderful Lisa Tarvis, who is she's a psychic and an intuitive and also a metaphysician, and she hosts a show called Just Believe. She's also an author. She wrote a book called Just Believe, and it's basically a chronicle of her real life experiences of seeing angels from a very young age, and then being able to translate that into a career of helping other people with her work. And so Lisa interviews people, not just in the paranormal realm or the spiritual realm, but she also interviews people who have a holistic approach to health. They're all authors. I mean, for example, she interviewed somebody who wrote Dr. Virginia Swanson, who wrote a book called The Diabetic Diet. Her show is really geared towards more uplifting, health-conscious, intuitive, spiritual type of authors. So that airs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern on the WriteStream Network, and it's called Just Believe. And then on Mondays, I'm thrilled to have military historian and author John D. Gresham hosting Military Monday. And John is just, he's, you know, in that military genre, John is right there at the top. In fact, he just got back from New Mexico, where he was working with the Travel Channel as a consultant on an extreme travel series that they're doing, and that should be coming out in August. But John interviews other writers, you know, having to do with the military, whether they're from the Air Force or whatever branch of the military happens to be, whether they're journalists. But it's a fascinating show, and it gets into a lot of historical events as well. So Military Mondays with John Gresham also airs at 1 p.m. Eastern every Monday on the WriteStream Network. And then I host WriteStream Tuesdays, where my show is pretty much open. I interview authors in a variety of genres. I don't really, you know, I don't focus on any one particular area. I love talking to authors. I just love that creativity, whatever the genre happens to be, whether it's mystery, drama, you know, autobiography, whatever it is. I love to bring them on. I bring two authors on per show. It's a two-hour program. I bring each author on for 50 minutes. And we have a really good in-depth conversation, but we also discuss, you know, social media. We discuss marketing. We discuss the business side of things, too, because I think that's the component that a lot of writers really need to tap into. I mean, it's one thing to write the book, but after the book is written and edited, your work is just beginning because you've got to treat it like a business. So I try to gear my show towards that so that people listening, whether they're already an author or they're an aspiring author, they'll get some great information that's going to help them become more successful. So that's the WriteStream Radio Network. And then every Thursday on Twitter at 11 a.m. Eastern, I host the WriteStream Twitter chat, which is basically an interview each week of a different author, but it's all done through typing, through Twitter. And you just have to use the hashtag WriteStream in every tweet, and you can kind of interact with other people, and it's a lot of fun. Twitter is just phenomenal. And it's a way, not only is WriteStream fun and informative, and we share a lot of great ideas, and we feature a different author each week, but it also helps you to improve, you know, to build your following on Twitter. You make more impressions on there because you're constantly tweeting and retweeting and replying, and it's just a lot of fun. And sometimes we have book giveaways. We did a book giveaway this past week with author Claire King. She's a UK author. And her book, The Night Rainbow, was just released here in the United States. It's been out in the UK for over a year, and it was just released in the United States, and we gave away two copies of her book. So we have a lot of fun with the WriteStream Twitter chat, and that's every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern.
And how often do you blog, by the way?
I blog daily, pretty much. Now, a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's just a blog, a promotional post about WriteStream, but I really do try to do at least one blog post a day.
You do. Can you hear the sound of listeners retching? I mean, it's just too much. You do everything. It's amazing to me to see just how much you accomplish. And so who is the guest on the WriteStream today?
Well, actually, tonight it's CRF Radio with my friend Steve. WriteStream's on Tuesday. But tonight we have the wonderful Ava Aspen, who was recently a guest on the WriteStream Twitter chat. Ava is an independent artist, a singer, songwriter, actress, phenomenally talented. And she right now is in the middle of this V-Walled Performance of the Year contest online. And the prize is $100,000, and it's for independent singers like herself. And so I thought this is the last weekend for people to vote. So I said, Ava, why don't you come on our show tonight? We'll play some samples of your music, and we'll try to get people to vwall.com and vote for you. So that's who we're interviewing tonight, and she's wonderful. And if anybody wants to check her out, her website is avaaspen.com. And it was fascinating to talk to her about songwriting, which is very different discipline, obviously, from writing a book or even a blog post. So she'll be interesting. So I'm looking forward to the show tonight, and that starts at 6 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio.
Which is right around the corner, literally.
Yeah.
And I had promised, I didn't have to swear on Bibles because Daria is just too kind to make me do such a thing, but I've sworn to get her out of here early so she can soothe her aching throat before she goes on to the next thing. Daria, it is always, always a pleasure to interview you, and I absolutely want you back with Sea to Shining Sea. Please let me know how this ghostwriting. I'd love to interview that author because I love the concept of the book. And thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Lydia. Likewise, it's always a pleasure. You take care, and we'll talk soon.
Oh, have a great interview coming up.
Thanks.
Next, and do me a favor and get to sleep tonight.
I will, I promise. Take care.
Okay, you take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, everyone. Next week, I have the wonderful Robbie Cox coming up. He started writing in high school as a way of escaping the lessons his teacher tried to cram into his head. With the aid of two very determined literature teachers, he was given the push he needed, as well as the guidance to win the Florida Pride Award for both short stories and poetry by his senior year, and also helped create the school's literary magazine, Spindrift. However, it was 5 years later before he made his first sale, an essay on prayer to Decision Magazine. With that milestone, Robbie turned his attention to freelance writing in between his daily jobs and the raising of three boys. While not always able to focus on it as he would have liked, he was able to stay active in writing and has been published in Parenting, Religious, Retirement, and Ghost Story magazines. He's also written a Christmas play for local churches and was at one time a contributor to the Good Shepherd Ministries newsletter. But still, throughout that, he kept working on his novel and short stories. So in September of 2010, he decided to stop dabbling with his writing and began to take it seriously. So I'm going to have him on next week. You need to follow him. He's Cox Robbie. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Really enjoy him. Enjoy tweeting with him. He's very interactive on there. And I also wanted to kind of use this time as well to give a shout out to some people who host contests regularly. I cannot emphasize this enough. I have said that I have six agents with my work. There's a reason for that. And the reason for that, a lot of times, is going to be people who just unswervingly are dedicated to giving of their time. This is both literary agents, bloggers, authors. One great site is brynleedrake.blogspot.com. They are running right now the Writer's Voice. It's a multi-blog, multi-agent contest. It's hosted by Cupid of Cupid's Literary Connection. Google Cupid's Literary Connection. If you have not been there and you're an aspiring author who wants to go the traditional route, even if you're an indie author, it's not going to hurt you to enter a contest like these. Krista Van Dolzer of Mother Write Repeat is going to be involved in this contest. As I said, it's a multi-blog contest. Monica B.W. of Love YA, and, of course, Brenda Drake. They do this all the time. Contests are absolutely worth your time and effort. So this contest, they're basing it on the NBC singing reality show, The Voice. So the four of them, that's Cupid's Literary Connection, Krista Van Dolzer of Mother Write Repeat, Monica B.W. of Love YA, and Brenda Drake, they will be serving as coaches, and they're going to select projects for their teams based on their queries and first pages. So it's a great opportunity to kind of get out there with your writing and give it a test run, and you just never know. You may well get picked. Now, the dates go like this, and again, you can find this. You can either Google Mother Write Repeat, you can Google Love YA, you can Google Cupid's Literary Connection. I always wind up Googling Brenda Drake. You can do that as well. You're going to find this. It's the second post down on May the 1st to May the 2nd. Everyone enters the Rafflecopter Lottery. The lottery winners sign up on a widget on the sites. May 2nd through the 10th, they select their team members from the Writer Voice Blog Fest. May 10th through the 20th, they coach their team members, helping them polish their entries. On May the 20th, they post their favorite entries on their blogs. And on May the 23rd through the 24th, very important date, and the agents vote for their favorites. You do not want to miss these. These are absolutely fabulous people who go out of their way, and I love to publicize them because they go out of their way to help you, the aspiring author, be it indie, be it traditional. It's worth it for the feedback you will get. Now, the submissions are really easy to enter. Obviously, you have to have a complete manuscript. It needs to be complete, polished, and ready to query. Second, this is the only limitation here. It must be either YA fiction, all subgenres, or MG, middle grade fiction, or young adult fiction. Again, all subgenres, I can say it, I swear I can. All subgenres, thank you very much, of either a young adult or middle grade fiction. So, on May the 1st, they've been overwhelmed before. So everyone gets an equal chance to participate. So the lottery is going to be open on May the 1st for 12 hours from 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, at which point the Rafflecopter, that's what they're calling it, will select 150 random winners. But do not be put out by this, because if you're one of those, you sign up on the Mr. Linky's magical widget the next day if you're one of the 150 random winners. I do want to say, don't let the rules dissuade you. All of these sites are sites that you definitely, definitely need to have a look at. If you don't write young adult fiction, if you don't write middle grade fiction, trust me, Brenda Drake, Cupid's Literary Connection, Mother Write Repeat, Love YA, and so many more of these great people will host contests like this. And you need to be ready, especially if you have, in this particular case, YA or in middle grade fiction, you need to be ready for it. They're going to coach whoever wins. They're going to select 18 members plus an alternate by May the 10th. Then they're going to spend the next week and a half helping them put a final polish on their entries. Now, if you've made it with me this far to hear this contest, then you can understand 150 people are going to be random winners. Every one of them are going to send in their query in the first 250 words of your manuscript. And these people, okay, Brenda Drake, Cupid, Krista von Dolzer, Monica BW, they are going to go through 150 entries, and they're going to pick eight, and then they're going to spend a week and a half helping them put final polish on their entries. It's amazing. And these people deserve to be publicized. I know I'm going to come back with more contests that are going on so you know about them, because it's an opportunity you don't want to pass up. The agents that are participating are Sarah Davies of the Greenhouse Literary Agency, Molly Glick of Foundry Literary and Media, Holly McGee and Elena Meshlin of Pippin Properties, Amy Joan Paquette of Aaron Murphy Literary Agency, Kate Schaefer Testerman of KT Literary, Susie Townsend of New Leaf Literary and Media, Monica Verma of Levine Greenberg Literary Agency, Tina Wexler of ICM Partners, Karen Wiseman of Andrea Brown Literary Agency, Catherine Drayton of Inkwell Management, Krista Heschke of McIntosh and Otis, and John Rudolph of Distel and Goddard Literary Management. Now, I may have stumbled over their names, but that's a lot of agents. And if you write young adult or mid-grade, you have a wonderful opportunity to get your work seen, and you might even pick up an agent while you're at it. So I would absolutely recommend checking out Brenda Drake, any one of these blogs. I usually go, to just be frank, to Brenda Drake. She usually works with other people. There's a variety of different agents. Sometimes they're doing adult as well. So this is not, this time it's limited in what you can do, but that's not always the case. So check out, Google any one of these people, and you will absolutely have a shot at an agent seeing your work if you want to go the traditional route. Again, I have to thank Daria Ann. Check her out. I mean, she's about to go to WriteStream right now. So she's going to have her show on, part of the Red State Talk Radio Network. That's coming up in just about 3 minutes. And check her out. She has so many services, so many things to contribute. DariaDGiovanni.com. She will, what she said about Twitter is true. She absolutely will interact with everyone who comes on there. Very friendly, very generous, as will Robbie Cox. Again, he's Cox Robbie. Join us on May the 4th, next Saturday, same time, same place, right here on WGGM. Join us next week because we will be having the fantastic Robbie Cox, author of Reaping the Harvest, and he also runs The Mess That Is Me. You can find him on Facebook. You can find him on Twitter. He interacts as well, and he's just one of the most generous people. I've had a chance to read Reaping the Harvest, so I will absolutely be talking about that next week. In the meantime, everybody have a great week, and we will see you right here with Robbie Cox next week on WGGM. You are listening to Lydia's Literary Lowdown.
Cultivate your spirituality with visionary practices of a higher nature in your own home and at your own pace. Empower You Metaphysical Academy, Usui Reiki, Amadeus Shamanic Healing, Karuna Reiki, Celtic Reiki, and many more energy attunements and modalities available. Learn in the privacy of your own home. attunements and energy activations offered via telephone with downloadable certifications. Very affordable, very accessible, and very interesting. Go to http://empowerletteruacademy.org. That's empowerletteruacademy.org.